Welcome to, I think, about the last service of the yearly meeting. I mean, I think we have some other events going on, but as far as evening services go, this would be the last one. It's the last evening.
Yeah, that's all right. Good.
Okay. Well, the future clerk of the Iowa yearly meeting suggested that we introduce the Showalters at least one more time to any of you who may not have been around when the first introduction. And of course, that's Tom Showalter. He is going to be our next superintendent. Tom, would you stand up and so everybody can see you? Don't hit your head on that. Holy mackerels. You picked the wrong place to sit down. All right. You may be seated, Tom. You know, and my daughter gave me an opportunity to learn a lot of names. And, you know, especially from this tall on up to. And so I've gotten pretty good at listening, hearing a name, and I don't usually forget a name once I hear it. I put it to a face, and it's in stone, pretty much, when I hear a name. So I'm going to introduce to you the rest of Tom's family. And I'll begin with his lovely wife, Vicky. Rhoda. Rose. Oh, Rose. Rose. Yeah, that's right. Lovely wife, Rose. And the first time I met her was when we Skyped. And of course, we had questions we needed to ask her. We needed to find out how compatible she was with her husband. And rather, she was on board with this whole superintendent thing in Iowa and so forth. And the more questions we asked her, and they were getting deep, deep questions. And about halfway through that, I said, Rose, you're hired. And so we basically hired her. So anyway, and they also have three daughters, right? And two of them are here, and one son. And one daughter is Vicky. She's the older one of the, what? Victoria. Victoria. Now, Victoria is the older of the daughters that's here, right? Yeah. And I'll get the rest of them right. I don't get more than two wrong. And I guess she is a famous bowler. That's what I heard. That's what I heard anyway over there in Ohio. And then Lacey was the next daughter. She's nice. What? Grace. Okay, Grace. Grace is the next daughter. Don't forget Grace. She's a lovely gal. And then they got that little cute kid who will soon find a girlfriend, I'm sure, here. Jordan. Good kid. Good all-around kid. I think he'll make a good husband someday. And what? Josiah. Josiah will make a good husband something. Good biblical name. Jordan's better, but Josiah's okay. Okay. Well, we got the introductions out of the way. Okay. So now something almost as fun as that. I guess somebody was asking me, are you going to collect an offering sometime during your service? I said, well, it really doesn't fit in to the service. There's really no break time. So I guess this is the break time. So I guess I'll ask everybody to come forward who's got a plate. And we'll ask the blessing on the offering. And I think, if I remember correctly, last night they said the offering went to me. But I could be wrong about that, too. I think it goes to cover the hamburgers and the hot dogs and the buns and everything else they had to purchase for this meal and for the whole weekend. Okay, we got some great volunteers. Four kids all lined up in a row. All right. All right, let's bless the meal, the offering. God, we do thank you for the seriousness of your commitment to us. God, we pray that we can be as serious with our commitment to you. And always remember who gave us the funds in the first place, who put food on their tables, who put clothes on our back.
So God, help us to give back to you what is rightfully yours. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, I've had fun. I had to do that to kind of loosen up. And I really didn't feel right trying to do that during the memorial service. So I thought this might be a better service to try to loosen up a little. But now it's time to get serious. You've all come here to see three men being recorded by the Iowa Yearly Meeting, which is a special thing. It's not an easy chore from what I've gathered of all the reading list. Believe me, I have tried the adult education thing. It lasted about 6 months. I finally decided to drop out. It was a computer thing, and it was an online course. And, you know, when you're married, you've got kids, you go to work, it's hard to feel that commitment when you get home from work to start studying for another test. And so, that's right. So, if I had a hat on, I would take it off to these three men who have worked diligently for the last 2 or 3 years in this process. And I just have some scripture I'd like to read to begin with, addressed to these three and to all of us. It says, make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift up your voice for understanding. And if you seek her as silver and search for her as the hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. I thought it was interesting that we seek her like silver. So it's something that we would dig for. We'd be willing to dig for. Sometimes you really have to dig. One time we visited this gold mine back when I was a pretty small kid. And my family, we visited this gold mine. I can't even tell you where it's at. And my dad, he pops his arm up. He's going to ask a question. He says, it seemed to me like you were digging for gold that you would soon go in the hole for as much gold as you get. I don't think he knew he was throwing a pun at the time. But you really have to dig a lot to get just a little bit of gold, just a little bit of value out of that soil. I think that's the way God wanted us to seek wisdom, as if we were digging for silver. Just a little bit more knowledge, God. And it's all right here. The scriptures tell you that. If you search out knowledge, you'll find it in me, says God. So that's what we need to do. That's my hope for the three of you that are being recorded, that you'll continue to study and study the Word. Study other authors, that's fine. But Keith Briggs told me one time years ago that if you're going to read other authors, that is fine. He says, I read authors all over the place. My library is full of books. But I always balance it out with the Scriptures. Because if we know the Scripture, we'll know what the truth is, and we'll know whether this author is correct or not correct. So that was his advice to me, was to balance out anything else you might read with equal time in the Scripture. And there was one other scripture I wanted to read, and a thought that I had too in terms of seeking knowledge out, like silver. Once in a while, when we have youth events, I'll borrow a cotton candy machine from a friend of mine. Cotton candy goes over real well with the kids. Cotton candy is one thing that you can eat as a child at the state fair. 20 years later, the smell is still familiar, that cotton candy, and it's still good. Even for a diabetic, it's good. They just have to take a little more insulin or whatever they have to do for that. I don't know. Is it the other way around? Less insulin? I don't know. Not a diabetic. Not yet. Okay, and then this other portion of Scripture, most of us, if not all of us here, will recognize. This is really pointing at anyone who really wants to take the position of a leader in a church. The Scriptures call it an overseer. However, we're held to a little better, a little more accountability. The scriptures tells us that too. Especially if we're going to lead somebody astray. What does the Bible say about that? Even though you're Christian, you're leading somebody astray, it's better that you had a millstone tied around your neck and dropped into the ocean. But we're not hoping for that for these three. No. Because I'm going to read the requirements, and they probably already know it by heart. An overseer, then, must be above reproach. The husband of one wife, and that works out because they're all men, so that works out. The husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, honorable, able to teach, not addicted to wine or combativeness, but gentle, peaceful, and free from the love of money. It goes on to say, and you must have a good reputation for those outside of the church, not just inside, so that he will not fall into reproach and to the snare of the devil. Deacons likewise must be men of dignity, not double-tongued, or addicted to much wine, or found in sordid gain, but holding to the mysteries of the faith with a clear conscience. And I thought it was pretty interesting how Paul, the writer of half of the New Testament, still called this gospel that we believe in a mystery. I think in Revelations it says at one point that when God descends from the heavens, and this final rapture occurs of all the Christians, that the mystery will be revealed. So when someone tells you they have the answers to all the Bible questions, you'll know that it can't be true. Because the scriptures say the mystery really won't be revealed until we see God face to face, which won't be long. I don't care how old you are, it's not going to be that long. Because it doesn't seem that long ago I graduated from high school. And I was up in front of people like this making a fool of myself. And that hasn't changed. See? So, when we take on this recording business, now, if you choose to do so, you hang it on a wall. And that is your public confession. Your public confession. Which kind of makes you an official of a higher power. So you're held to a higher standard. And I really do believe that. As pastors and as teachers, that's why I probably hesitate to teach. Because I know biblically I'm held to a higher standard. But on the other hand, it helps you out at work. I love that part of the scripture where it talks about having good reputation for those even outside of the church. I knew I had arrived when, I never really arrived, but I knew I had partially arrived when now and then people will joke at work and say, oops, Lowell's here. And the typical worldly joking and so forth. And when they catch themselves starting to say a cuss word and then back up. That, to me, is as good a testimony as I could think of. And that's how I hope the lives of all of us are, that we are good reputation inside the church and outside the church. So what we're going to do now, is I was going to have all three come up, but I think I'll do it. I think I'll just do this one at a time. And I think we'll begin with Rob Talbot. And if you have a sponsor, he could come along, and any family member that would like to join. And would you please then come up here? Now, what we did, go ahead and fill this up. Everybody can see your lovely faces. What we did last year, if I remember correctly, we had them all up here, but I think we're just going to do it one at a time since we have three of them, and a lot of big group here. But anyway, what I'd like to do is open this up to anybody out there in the audience or any of you who would feel like you'd like to say something about your dad or your son's endeavor into this recording business. Maybe, you know, maybe there's a few things you didn't get to do because dad was too busy studying. I don't know. But if there's anybody who would like to make any kind of comment about my friend Rob, like maybe his wife? Not yet.
Wes Blanchard, I happen to be the chairman of the Quakerdale board, of which Rob is our director for that ministry. And it's been my privilege to serve on that board for about 3 years now. And I just think this recording is a real recognition of his heart for ministry that he has thoroughly incorporated into his job as director of Quakerdale Homes and the work they do. I'm not saying that past directors didn't try that, didn't do that, but I've just been able to see it firsthand as an adult, the success with which Rob has done that, and I'm honored to call him my friend and a fellow recorded minister.
I'd like to praise the Lord for the gifts of ministry I see in Rob. Innovation, creativity, thoughtfulness, gentleness, a person who is for other people in every way imaginable. I see a great deal of grace in you, Rob, which I think is one of the great gifts of the Spirit that's in you. And I am honored to be your pastor, and thank you for being a great friend to me.
I would say Rob is a man of faith. The many things that change and go on at Quakerdale sometimes are out of his control, but he trusts God to lead him and give ideas, and he's a man of faith is the way I'd boil that down to. And he made a statement, I guess, was this afternoon, wasn't it, when we had the mission workshops and all, and a statement Rob made then, too, was that Quakerdale is not about money, it's about ministry. And he's very faithful to that.
I hope I can do this. Rob is my second son to be recorded in Iowa yearly meeting. And my wife, Artie, was recorded in Indiana yearly meeting. I don't know why the Lord has blessed me so much, but it's been a pleasure to see him grow up and become the man he is. Thank you.
Go ahead. I'm really glad he changed his mind about getting his doctorate, because I was really not ready for that. But this seems completely natural. And I think to finally see him recognized for the leader that he is, not only in the ministry, but in our community, and especially of our family. My name for Rob is the King of Second Chances, because even when I think he should fire someone, he doesn't. He doesn't listen to me. And he's the epitome of grace in our house. And I appreciate him.
Well, she reminded me of a business model I heard once. It was a fellow who's, I can't give you his name, He's a billionaire. He owns businesses, Kentucky Fried Chicken chain, the Pepsi chain. He owns a lot of businesses, and he basically makes his living out of just investing in businesses. And someone asked him once how often you fire your COs and stuff like this, and people running your businesses. And he says, I don't fire. I'm not into that game. And he says that's how he builds his business. And then they asked him, well, how often do you sell off your businesses? And he says, I don't sell off my businesses. My businesses, if they're not working good, I go in there and I make them work. And that's what I see in Rob. I would say he's the type of a character. If he's not working correctly, I want to find out how to make him work correctly. And it's something about that type of an employer that makes you want to stick with him, makes you want to work harder. And so that's just how I imagine Rob to be. Yeah. At this time, Ron, I don't know if you wanted to mention anything before we get the certificate out or not.
Well, I only had one verse selected for the three of you.
Oh.
So which one gets
say
it?
Say it three times, because I plan on reading this three times.
Do you?
Yep.
I would like to say Rob came to our yearly meeting a few years ago. I sat in on a couple of the board meetings where we're discussing the new director for Quakerdale. And be careful how I say this. It was really, really amazing to me that we could find someone who would come in with a young family like this and use that word, which I'd heard before that we weren't supposed to use, that this is a ministry. At Quakerdale Homes Incorporated is a ministry. I thought, okay, he's in. Thank you, Rob. Thank you very much. Jen, I know you contribute a lot to this too. Rich, I'm glad you mentioned Artie because I was thinking about her. She's proud. Let me say it that way. Thank you.
Well, Rob, would you come down here with us? I thank you for all the hard work you've done, and we appreciate it as the ministry and council. And we are the ministry and council of the Iowa Yearly Meeting is satisfied that he has required, or he has finished all the requirements for the recording process, as well as his sponsor. That it is up to the sponsor, really, to give the final okay as to whether he's going to be recommended for recording or not. And so anyway, as Ellen Mulligan, I think he's got somebody married off.
He's got a daughter getting married this
year. Yeah. Yep. So let me read this certificate for you, if you don't mind. Is this certificate of recording? The Iowa Yearly Meeting recognizes Robert C. Talbot, M.A., as a master of the gospel with full rights and privileges of the ministerial statutes in the Friends Church, having been recommended by Honey Creek New Providence Monthly Meeting and the Iowa Yearly Meeting of Ministry and Council under the advisement of the Committee on Training and Recording Ministers. Rob, I present to you your certificate of record.
Thank you.
Thank you. You may be seated. Next, we'll do Rick Mockman. John, are you going to come up here? John was his sponsor. And I'm sure he was a good sponsor. Thanks for all your hard work, and John, for, you know, the time. I know it takes a lot of time, you know, to do all this stuff. And John's already busy as a one-arm wallpaper hanger with Iowa Yearly Meeting stuff. And so for him to even take it on is really a testament to his. No, I'll just bet not. I'm just betting not. Well, I would like to have the same thing
do the same thing with Rick as we did with Rob, and that's open it up to the congregation for anyone who would like to speak on Rick's behalf or any thoughts about it, celebration of this moment.
Well, I've known Rick all my life. We started out in youth group together back when he was driving an old, what was it, a 67 Cougar? Or at least trying to keep it running anyway. We spent many a long night talking about things. I guess we'd say Rick came to our youth group and I think he adopted us. I don't know whether it was he adopting us or we adopting him, but I've seen a tremendous amount of growth. When he came into the youth group, he was dealing with a lot of family issues and things and just fighting to survive. And he's gone to great lengths and changes in his life, and he shares from his heart, and his heart is connected to God. And you're really tuned into that, Rick, and I really appreciate the changes I've seen in your life.
You'll probably get tired of me tonight because I know all three of them. And I'm going to borrow Randy's words from last night because I don't have a script, and these two guys have got too much blackmail material also, so, you know, we're not going to go there at all. We're just thankful we grew up before cell phones were readily available. There's a gray hair contingent over there that could tell way too many stories on the three of us. But Mike alluded to it, that the community of Bangor just supported us. I said many times I wasn't related to anybody, but I was part of everybody's family. And that's still true today for Rick and Randy and myself and Mike and the whole gang that grew up there. And I thank you all for that. So maybe I won't talk about Randy because it'd be a repeat.
Well, I'm one of those guys that kind of observed Rick from early teenage on. And if there ever a guy grew in the Lord, it's been Rick. I mean, from one step, and then a jump. And I'm so proud of him. Rick. He's been a very faithful and now a great teacher and a leader, and I know he'll serve the Lord with his best. Power to you, Rick. Dig right in. You can do it.
I've only known Rick for half our lives, and when we came to Bangor Liberty, or back to Bangor Liberty, We just kind of hit it off. I'm a listener. He's a talker. And, you know, like I say, just worked real well. But even at that time, you could see the potential that Rick had in ministry, mainly because he is a talker. And we all appreciate our ministers that have that ability. But especially in the last several years, as he has taken on the recording process, we really saw a lot of growth there, continued openness to the Lord's leading, constantly searching for what it is that God has in store for him. So we do really appreciate him.
Well, I've been not sure what I should say. Anybody that knows me knows that if I entrust my children in somebody's household, that they're right up there with people that I treasure and respect. And when I look at you tonight, Rick, and your family, I have never seen such joy reflected from you ever before. So you've accomplished a lot.
I may not have another chance if he gets started. Because he is a talker. We've talked about his talking. Actually, Artie started out being his sponsor, and she started going to Arizona and other things, and I ended up being his sponsor, I think. So, and I've been privileged to have that opportunity. It was a learning experience for me, and we started meeting once a month after we were challenged by Mary Glenn and whoever her candidate was. Marlene Smith, right? Yeah, Marlene. Anyway, so if you ever passed through Eldora, you might have had a chance to meet Rick. He was a police officer in Eldora. It's interesting the way his life has gone. He was a police officer and really enjoyed that job. And then worked in Lenox recently. He's been taking a job in a factory and worked there for many years. And he was, as we were visiting, he was very anxious about ministry, getting to do that. He really had the desire to do that. And he could have hurried up this process, but he really enjoyed the process of recording and actually took an extra year that he could have probably skipped through. But during that time, God gave him a ministry at Lenox where he worked. People would come to him, and he had an opportunity to minister on the job, and that was a growing experience for him. So,
he's got the mic shut off back there, so Isaac has the mic.
Okay, 1 minute, there you go. Well, I appreciate everything that everybody's shared, and all week long I've been getting congratulations, and I've responded thank you, which is the only way I could, but that was not what I wanted to respond, and I want to respond tonight. Because as you see these folks sharing about my life and the struggles I went through, back in the 70s, when I walked into that little Country Friends Church in Northwest Marshall County, the church that would soon become Bangor Liberty, people started investing in a very unlikely man to start working with him, to have patience with him, to have love. And I want to tell you, it's taken many, many, many years to get me where I'm at. And I would not be here if it were not for the family that I had in my church, in my friends, people who just saw the roughest of rough in me, but said, somewhere inside of him, I believe God's got potential. And so what I really want to say tonight is not thank you, but congratulations to you. Because it's you folks that have made me where I am and who I am today. And I hope, as Chuck said, he's proud of me. I hope to make you proud of me. I hope to continue to make you proud of me. And you should be, because you have folks that put a lot of work into me. Ron's been working 10 years just to get me in a suit. He didn't think it was going to happen. But folks, look around your meetings. Look at those individuals that may or may not show a lot of potential. Because I'm 59 years old. My ministry is not going to be as long as it could have been. But there are people in your meetings, some of them very unlikely candidates. Go home, encourage, invest, love them. Because you will find future recording candidates right there in your meeting. Do what those folks have done for me. And I hope that what I do in ministry will bless you, because I so much appreciate what you have done for me and for the things you've carried me through and the times that you sometimes probably got a little frustrated with that crazy young man. But thank you. Thank you very much.
I'm going to stand up next to this suit.
It is
just
real.
Just in case. Yeah, we're going to take a picture of me beside him with a suit. Anyway, Rick, to me, I really didn't know Rick. It kind of burst on the scene. You used that word once already. On the ministering council of our yearly meeting. And soon he was the chairman of the ministering council. And I'll be honest with you, I may have even told a few people along the way. I said, I'm really surprised at the things that he would write, the things that he would share. And when we started talking about recording, I believe I asked him once or twice, are you sure about this? You know, are you sure about this? Now, as a family, you know, you have arrived and achieved this, and I am very, very proud of you. And as a family, I don't exactly know where the Lord has plans for you. I have some plans for you, but just wanted to let you know. But thank you very much. Congratulations.
John could stole part of my thunder there. Because I was just thinking, you know, Rick might be a good one to have along when my wife and I go traveling on long trips, because she's always complaining I never talk. An hour with Rick on board, and she'll long to have a silent partner. But seriously, I remember he talked about, you know, maybe getting kind of into the counselor business, and I said, you know, I can kind of picture that right now. You'd be asking them a question, and one would open the mouth, and he would take over for the rest of the 50 minutes of the counseling session. But we would get good things done. But I've gotten to know Rick, of course, through this whole process. I really didn't know that much about him. I think I've seen him around probably at our yearly meeting events, but haven't got really too familiar with him until we started in with this recording process. So I'm glad for all the comments and the feedback, and it is basically a congratulatory event for the family too, because they're all involved in this. So Rick, if you don't mind, I would like to read to you this certificate of recording. It'll sound pretty similar to Rob's, other than the name.
I tried to get his name, but they wouldn't let me have
it. Yeah. Let's see, I do have Rick. Oh, okay, good. All right. This is a certificate of recording. The Iowa Yearly Meeting fully recognizes Rick Bachman as a minister of the gospel with full rights and privileges of ministerial status in the Friends Church, having been recommended by Bangor Liberty Monthly Meeting, an Iowa Yearly Meeting on Ministry and Counsel under the advisement of the Committee of the Training and Recording of Ministers. To this, I give you, Rick, and congratulations.
Thank you.
You may be seated. Okay, our final one for tonight is Randall Charles Nichols. Would you please come up, and your sponsor, Mike, if he's around, and family, and whoever else wants to come up and gather around. This is a family affair. Holy mackerels. Yeah, this is a family affair. All right, I might have to get down. We need to give a few minutes for the photographer to get upstairs so he can get into all of those. Okay, well, boy, you got a lot of people. I think this is a record number for me. I haven't been in this business very long, but I think this is a record number. I thought Chuck Wiesner brought a lot of people up.
Come on up here.
Sure. No, yeah, you go ahead. I kind of hesitate to turn a microphone on. Well, we'll leave it for the audience first.
This is what I mean about family. They just pull you in. And I think that's what Randy's going to be able to do as a pastor, is pull people into the church using his teaching skills and administrative skills from that first life. But again, I think the true calling to be a pastor comes through. And I'm so proud to call you my friend.
I first got acquainted with Randy here at William. He was good friends with my brother-in-law. And, you know, just to be honest, I was a little concerned about both of them. But they probably had reason to be concerned about me as well. One of the things that I notice is that, you know, in the easy times, anybody can look good. But when those difficult times come, that's when we find out what people are really made of. And it was, I think, about 8 or 10 years ago when Pleasant Ridge was in the process of leaving the yearly meeting. And it was not an easy process. And Randy was a clerk of the Board on Coordination. I had just come on as clerk of trustees. And I was just so impressed the way Randy led us through that. I mean, he was very good at listening, caring, giving time, taking some patience, and yet clear. And saying, you know, we're not going to go there. I mean, he just took the process and led us through that as a yearly meeting. And it was like a light came on, and I said, wow, Randy's really grown up. The Lord has really been at work in his life over these many years. And all the different things that he'd gone through that, you know, you've taught and worked as superintendent. You know, God was using you as a minister then, but moving you into even this opportunity of ministry now that is more full-time or more traditional, what we would call a pastoral ministry. But God had been using you in so many of those ways along the way. And so I just want to say, you know, you become a man of truth and wisdom and grace. And I'm just thankful that you're being recorded tonight. And recording really is recognizing the gifts that God has given.
I've only been in the yearly meeting 11 years. But what I want to say to you is about you as a father. I thank you for empowering your daughters, Emma and Hannah. That is a wonderful thing that you've allowed them to be who they are. And I see that as a great gift as a father to your daughters. And I want to say thank you for empowering them to be ministers in the way that God has created them. We need more dads like you out there. Thank you.
I want to say I really, really, really appreciate your sense of humor. And there are wonderful times to be very, very serious, and then there's wonderful times to be very, very funny. So I have to tell a story. I was on the pastoral search committee when Middle River was floundering out there in the middle of nowhere. We didn't have a pastor for a year and a half, almost 2 years. Was it that long? Was it longer than that? I can't remember. Going a little crazy myself, a little scattered, a little whatever. Well, Randy and I happen to be born under the same sign, so I don't know if that means anything to anyone, but it means something to me because both of us get a microphone in our hand and neither one can put it down, and we could both talk forever and always. So I happen to be his unofficial secretary, which doesn't mean anything at all because that's not even what I want to talk about. What I want to talk about is when the search committee went back to Middle River and we said, boy, do we have a candidate for pastor. Who is it? It's Randy Nichols. Little Randy Nichols, are you kidding me? It was, exactly. And I says, but oh, you don't understand. It's a call from God. We didn't go seeking him, and he sort of didn't come seeking us. I think it was a message from God, and I think it came from Hannah. So God works in mysterious ways through wonderful children that are brought up by fantastic fathers. I couldn't tell you that we are so glad and so blessed to have Randy and Denise and their extended family be part of our family at Middle River Friends. You have caught a vision. I want the rest of us to catch that vision, and we want to fly off into the fire skies with it with you. Thank you for being our pastor, and congratulations on being recorded this evening.
Well, I'm Hannah's husband, for some of you that don't know. Randy, I asked you if I could marry her. You said no, so I did it anyway. But I'm glad I did. You're a good father-in-law, and throughout the, I don't know, 6 or 7 years that I've been around your family, I've noticed that you're a cornerstone wherever you go, and you're a stabilizing force, which is pretty evident to see. And you've thrived in a lot of situations that I think other people would have failed in. So it's really cool to see that and to see that you are recognized for it here today. Also, sometimes I think that in your sermons I might see a solitaire card or two, but so you guys don't know that.
I can't do it anymore. I can't bust the buttons like I used to, but I'm proud, you know, bust the button. But in my son Randy, serving the Lord, the most important thing we can do, and I'm so thrilled and happy that early in his life, he showed that God was leading him, and I feel that today. I thank the Lord for that.
Randy, I couldn't be prouder of you. We are so, we just feel like God has laid his hand on you, and you are where he wants you to be. And we're just very proud to be your parents and to watch you grow and mature and be his child. I couldn't have had any happier thing happen in my life than to be the mother of you.
I'll come out from hiding so you can hear me and see me at the same time. Well, I don't know how much my dad has grown up, but but I do know that I'm very proud to be able to, when I'm around the early meeting and people ask, you know, who do you belong to? Do you belong to anyone? And I'm always very proud to say, yes, I belong to Randy and Denise Nichols. And that's something that I'm excited to be able to give to my children, and that it's just a great legacy to be a part of. So, love you, Dad.
If you spend any time with my dad, you know he's brilliant, and he's kind, and he's wise, and he's loving, and I'm not convinced he's actually ever done anything wrong in his life. Which is saying something, because he raised me. Maybe his parents can tell you otherwise.
A few stories.
But he's reached one of his goals. Of course, he's not stopping. He can't. He always wants to learn more and know more and serve more. So I'm really proud to watch you reach one goal, and I know you're going to keep going. I'm proud of you. Congratulations, and I love you.
Well, I'd like to just say that it's been a pleasure to get to know you. And I've noticed that you have a sharp mind and a tender heart, and I'm sure that will serve you well as a pastor. And it's nice to be working together at Fox a little bit and encouraging each other along the way. It's been a real blessing to me.
I was Randy's sponsor, and I always enjoyed meeting with him. You know, I taught for 24 years over at Penn, and unlike a lot of the students that I taught, Randy would actually read the assignments. It was just really a joy to talk with somebody who actually has read, and we had, I don't know if he got anything out of it, but I certainly did. I didn't know how it would go at first, because Randy's been around a long time, and I thought we were pretty different. And something about, I don't know why, but Artie Talbot thought that we should hook up in this endeavor. And I found a lot more commonalities than I ever thought I would. We're a lot more common than uncommon. And I appreciated the opportunities, and I wish we could continue, and maybe we could, but I found it to be a very empowering experience for me.
I think they want me to say something. I was just thinking, if you had a long car ride and you put Rick Bachman and Randy Nichols in that car, it'd take care of a conversation for a good long way. And it would be good. It'd be great discussion and swapping stories. It would be a great experience. I was just thinking, you know, if I had a chance to say something, but there, so many others were saying, and I thought, nah, I don't need to add my 2 cents. But I've been observing Randy for a long time through the years in various ways. And my impression of Randy and his career is tried and true. Tried and true. He's done a lot of different things. Been a school teacher. I've been a school teacher. I know how that is. That's trying. He's been a school administrator as a principal, school superintendent. That's even more trying because you're caught between everybody, the teachers, the students, the parents, you know. And camp in all kinds of different capacities at camp. And now pastor. And he's done really, really well at all of them. He's level-headed. He just is tried and true and proven. And he has good choice. He chose my daughter. So, I mean, he's got a lot of things going for him, and I'm glad to be part of his wider family that he collected up here. Just glad to be part of the celebration. Right? I don't know whether we should hand the mic to him. Nobody told me.
I said I had a verse, so we better use it. And Randy, you get it. No. This is for all our candidates that are being recognized tonight. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. So I should say, Randy called me while I was a superintendent and said, I've been thinking. And I guess I want to lay this out as a challenge to anybody that's in this room. Who knows what God may have in store for you? And at what stage of your life? I remember calling him back two or three conversations later, and I said, now you do remember you're going to go from a position of salary about like this down to this. But it was a calling, and they had together come to an agreement. And yes, the door was open at Middle River. And yes, we've had many conversations. And Randy has served as a counselor for me and just so many different ways. I do think, Mike, the reason that you were selected is I thought maybe that you could hold your own against Randy and the conversation. I didn't have a shot at it, so thank you very much. I guess I want to shake your hand too, Randy. You've been a leader and will continue to be a leader, and I am so pleased to see you complete this next stage. I think we have alluded to the fact there is a doctorate on the horizon, so it's going to continue.
What? You want me now? All right.
Okay. John Donne, in a different context, said, "No man is an island, every man is a piece of the continent." Paul wrote about it, that we're surrounded by a cloud of saints and witnesses, and he talked about being part of a body. Well, we've heard some of the connections, but I'd like to show you the nurture that you have. If you were from Bangor Liberty, would you stand, please? This is where I was born. This is where I was grown up and nurtured. Center Friends. And they got to taste me as first. Don't sit down. Stay seated. Center Friends. They got to see me as a rookie pastor. And they got to bear the hurt of my decision to leave and go into teaching. Des Moines First Friends. There were some that were there. And from there, Oskaloosa College Avenue Friends. Would you stand? Wilson Friends Church. Middle River Friends Church. These are the people who have been nurturing me all these years. Honey Creek, New Providence, Friends Church. This was where I started to sense the call. If you have any connection with Camp Quaker Heights, would you stand? That was pivotal in my life. If you have some connection with William Penn College, would you stand? You're my family. You raised me. You nurtured me. Iowa Yearly Meeting of Friends, would you please stand? I am so honored and humbled. Thank you. Thank you for all you've done in raising me. I appreciate it. You are my cloud of saints and witnesses. Thank you. And I want to say something about Rick and Rob. We do go back a long way. Rick and I were in youth group together, but he also roomed with my brother for a while. Okay? Rob, his mother and my mother were business partners together, running that Christian bookstore that I always dreamed of doing and never did. Thank you all. You are my family.
Well, years ago, come on. Years ago, Jim Kessler said something that I'll never forget. But he said, "You're really not worth your weight in salt if you can't raise your family to be a Christian family." He said, "That's the most important thing that a mother or a father can do, is make Christians out of their children." Jim did a good job of that, and so did you, it's obvious. I just wanted to say that before we finalize this recording service. So if you don't mind, I'm going to reread this for the third time, but I'll just add your name in place of the other two. So on behalf of the ministry and council, we know that you have fulfilled all your requirements, and you've been recommended back to us by your sponsor, saying that you have completed all your requirements, and he was satisfied that Randy was ready to be recorded. So I'm going to read this over to you. This is a certificate of recording. The Iowa Yearly Meeting recognizes Randall Charles Nichols, as a minister of the gospel with full rights and privileges of the ministerial status in the Friends Church, having been recommended by Middle River Monthly Meeting and Iowa Yearly Meeting on Ministry and Council under the advisement of the Committee on Training and Recording of the Ministers, this certificate is yours, Randall, and thank you. What's that saying?
This is the difference between the two extroverts and the introvert. When somebody says, well, you don't have to speak, I'm going to go sit down. But well, if I am going to speak, I'm going to make sure I do it with some notes. Every time I do orientation at Quakerdale, we always have to tell something about why we're there, what it means to work at Quakerdale, and I always have to lead off. And the reason that I'm at Quakerdale is because it's a ministry, because it's a mission field to me. And I think that fits great with the lay ministry approach that the Quakers have and that the Friends have. I feel called to the ministry that I do, and it's really really born out of the fact that my testimony really started before I was born, or just after I was born, because I didn't have a lot of problems in my life. I was born into a great family. Well, I wasn't born into a great family. I was adopted into a great family, because I really don't know who my biological family is. So I'm lucky, I'm blessed to have a great family. My desire is to provide people with a family that's healthy. My kids first, and then the people that we try to help at Quakerdale. And so that's my testimony. I also want to say thanks to my wife of 25 years this year. You know, at the beginning when I started doing this stuff, the first executive director position I took, it was to say, pastoring takes a lot, but running a nonprofit takes a lot. And it was Jennifer and I's decision that if she ever said, we're done, we're done. So she always holds kind of the trump card to say, if this is too much, then we're going to be done, and we will be done. And so that's the team that we've had. It's been a dual agreement all along. And I just want to say that between my parents and my wife and my family and those who've come around me, I've always known people have my back. And I think that's really what the community of faith is about. And it's a blessing to be a part of that. I've got that family in Indiana and in Iowa, and I thank you for that. I also want to say, just from Alan Milliken, who's my sponsor, he called me today, wished me well. We actually thought about doing this last year at yearly meeting, but he couldn't because he was on sabbatical, and then his daughter decided to get married right in the same time, too, so he wasn't able to be here again, but he was a great support to me, and we built a great relationship and a great friendship, and that's been a very enriching experience for me. And I also want to say thanks to the ministry, to the M&C, for the yearly meeting, and just the good nurturing and support that they gave in this process. So I think I've got my list, and I just want to thank all of you for listening and being a part of this tonight.
I would just like to say that I really miss Ardith a lot because she seemed to know about how this recording business is supposed to run, and Jackie and I had a chance to look at how it was supposed to be run and realized we did a lot of things backwards. But they're still here. That's the important thing. They still made it here. So it's been a learning experience for me and for our recording committee here. So I think at this time we're going to bring the worship team back up here. And following this meeting, well, after the worship singing, I think Ron will have an announcement. But following the meeting, we have some bars and cookies and stuff like that in the back. Downstairs.
I just want to remind you that 7:15 in the morning is board and coordination. Wouldn't you love to be on that committee? And at the same time as breakfast starts. And then we have our friend from Omaha is going to lead our devotions at 8:15 over in room 103. So we'll see you all there.
And then after that, we're packing welcome bags for the college students, so don't miss out on that either. That's going to happen over at the MTC building as well. I don't know about you, but I feel very full right now, and what a celebration, what a way to end our worship sessions here at Yearly Meeting, and just a real sense of pride in what God has accomplished among these gentlemen and among all of us of Iowa Yearly Meeting. I think just the general challenge that we've heard the last couple nights has been, like Tim said the other night, Iowa Yearly Meeting is not finished. God has a lot to do here. And we want to close with this song. Why don't you stand and sing with us as a prayer for all of us to be obedient to the call that God's laid on our life and the call that God has laid on Iowa Yearly Meeting as we move forward. Amen. You're dismissed.